Good morning. Welcome to our pop-up nativity. It's lovely to see you all. Thank you all so much for those who've dressed up and for those who've volunteered, sort of, to take part. And we hope we're going to have lots of fun this morning as we rediscover the story of Jesus' birth. Just a few messages. Welcome to some of our early bird families who perhaps haven't been to big church before. You're very welcome. It's very informal. Feel free to move around. If you need to go out, there's the creche where there's a quiet area. The toilets are just down the corridor. And if we have to leave the building, we can go out the door we came or we can go through that way. We're going to sing some songs. We're not going to keep saying stand up and sit down, but basically if you'd like to stand up when there's a song, you can, and then sit down again afterwards. And we're going to be inviting people at different points in the story to come up to the front and help act it out. And obviously, as we haven't rehearsed, this could be interesting. I think I'm basically the narrator and Ruth is the instructor. So if you listen closely to what Ruth's saying, because she'll give you ideas of when you need to be on the move or up here, that would be great. And if you're watching online later today, welcome too. I hope you enjoy our production service, whatever we want to call it. But brilliant. Oh yes, just the last thing that's important is the service is being recorded. So if you don't want your children to be, or you don't want to be on the recording, then please, can you try not to come up here? Or if you do want to come here, just try not to, you know, we're only filming as the whole thing, so it's not going to be obvious, but yeah, if you really, really don't want your child to be on there, then perhaps best to try and avoid coming up. So, brilliant. So, Ruth's going to introduce how we go.
So, today we have lined up a Christmassy treat. Traditional nativities are always sweet. But as is quite novel, we'll tell it in rhyme and invite you to join us to act it in mime. So join with us first as we start with a sing to welcome in Jesus, the King of all kings.
Brilliant. We're going to sing Come On and Join the Celebration. So if you'd like to and able to, do stand. Right, just before we start, we're going to just light our Advent candles. Skye, do you want to come and do it? Do you know how to do it? We have a camel lighting the candles today. So we just need to light this one and this one. So do that one first. But we'll say together as we light the candles. Oh, can you do it? As we light this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus. As we light this candle, we celebrate the peace we have in Jesus. Brilliant. Thank you. Well done. Oh, lovely. So, we're about to begin. There will be, along the way, some clues of when it is time to come to the front in the form of a sign. So for those that can't read, mums and dads will need, no, you can't sit down in the stable yet. Baby Jesus, you can't have baby Jesus yet. Oh, they're sorry. Right, okay, right, just stand in the front, facing this way. That's it, just facing out that way. And Isla, where's Isla?
Do you want to come up?
Brilliant. Our story begins in old Nazareth town, and we'll tell of the day when an angel came down and mentioned to Mary, an unmarried lady, that she was expecting God's very own baby. The angel spoke words both kind and true. Greetings, young Mary, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, you will give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus, the saving one. Of course she was worried, as you would expect. Let's face it, her marriage plans could have been wrecked. Right. If you two just stand over to this side for a minute. Little Mary, come over here for a minute as well. Just come and stand with big Mary's. That's it. Here they come. Joseph, not happy, went to sleep that night when an angel appeared in his dream so bright. And thankfully, Joseph was spoken to too. So instead of creating a hullabaloo, he stood by young Mary, knowing that she'd been chosen by God. She was special indeed. Amazing. Imagine, what would you have done if you'd been selected to raise God's own son? Now let's look at what happened in Luke chapter 2, where it tells us what Caesar decided to do. He gathered together the soldiers of Rome and made a decree to send people home. The census he'd take from the place of their birth would help him to know what his empire was worth. The soldiers unfolded a long legal scroll dictated by Caesar, the man in control. These are the words that the soldiers then read. The words that the Emperor Caesar had said.
We need you to register, each to his own original birthplace. Off you go, home. Caesar must know what his empire is worth, so register now at the place of your birth.
Caesar, of course, had plans for himself to tax their belongings and increase his wealth. Now, carpenter Joseph, this man was a gem. He needed to travel to Bethlehem. He went with his wife, who was gentle and mild, but heavenly laden as she was with child. Though terrible timing, they had to endeavour to travel to Bethlehem both together. Right, so you're all going to go. You go that way and back round, okay?
So Mary's and Joseph start their journey so long. And if you don't mind, we'll join in with a song. Now, we'll need the innkeepers ready and waiting. You'll know what to do when you hear us narrating. And Joseph, you'll soon have some words to say as we watch you searching for somewhere to stay.
Right, we need our three innkeeper people. So Matt, and I can't remember who the third one was. Someone else volunteer?
Roger.
If you just stand by Ruth for a minute, because you'll have to read the words off the lectern there. So
okay.
Lovely.
Here we go. Anyway,
you see, back to the story in hand. When Mary and Joseph had reached his homeland, and Mary was worried, expecting that soon the baby would come and they'd be marooned. So quickly, her husband attempted to find a place they could rest so she'd have peace of mind. They'd travelled so far, it was such a long way, and they desperately needed a place to stay. So Joseph knocked on the first door he found. It opened ajar, and a head popped around. The innkeeper listened while Joseph said,
"Do you have room and a lovely warm bed?"
The innkeeper answered,
"I'm sorry, but no."
Then he pointed and said to them,
"You'll have to go."
So Joseph and Mary walked down the street, looking so tired they were dragging their feet. They stopped at the next inn and knocked on the door. Then Joseph repeated what he'd asked before.
"Do you have room and a lovely warm bed?"
The innkeeper stood there and calmly said,
"So sorry, we're nothing. Not one single one. Certainly not until some guests have gone."
When you've said your lines, innkeeper, you can go. When you said your lines, you can go. Without hesitation, he pointed away and left them to find somewhere else to stay. So off went poor Mary and Joseph again and knocked on another door down the lane. The innkeeper heard them and came to the door, and Joseph repeated what he'd asked before.
"Do you have a room and a lovely warm bed?"
But sadly, the innkeeper shook his head. Mary was desperate. She'd something to say.
"Please, sir, we have to have somewhere to stay. Anywhere, please, sir, we really don't mind. There has to be somewhere you can find."
The innkeeper thought, then pointed and said,
"I suppose you could sleep in the cotton shed."
So Mary and Joseph walked over that way and finally settled to rest in the hay. So you can sit on one of these chairs now.
You're done.
Well done. Do you want to come and sit on the chair, Mary? And Joseph can come sit there. If you're animals, you can go and sit behind. Isla, you can go somewhere else. Thank you. Right, so Mary and Joseph walked over that way and finally settled to rest in the hay. And just in time, too, for the very next morn, an amazing thing happened. Yes, Jesus was born.
"So, Mary, just pick up the baby and get the cloth by his side, as you're not finished yet. Now just listen carefully and do as we say, and later you'll lay him to sleep in the hay."
So holding him closely and safe in her hands, she wrapped him up warmly in swaddling bands, then laid him to sleep in a manger bed where usually all of the animals fed.
Jesus, may
Now, shepherds, it's your turn to listen this time. So just act out everything we say in mime.
Now, up in the hills one fabulous night, some shepherds looked up and they saw a bright light. And one of them said as he looked to the skies,
"The light is blinding me. Cover my eyes."
Oh, come over this side. Over this side a bit more. That's it, over this side, because you've got to be up in the sky.
British. Can you see all these angels?
The shepherds were frightened. Could it be? No one could tell. It was too bright to see. They huddled together like frightened lambs and shielded their eyes with shaking hands. Then up in the sky, way overhead, all of a sudden an angel said,
"Do not be afraid. I bring news of great joy. Your Saviour's been born as a baby boy. You'll find him in Bethlehem, laid in a bed, made of a trough in a stable shed."
The shepherds were dazzled and glued to the spot, when all of a sudden, you'll never guess what, a whole host of angels gathered around, making a beautiful praising sound. "Glory to God and peace to all men. Christ the Lord is born in Bethlehem."
Now, angels, we need you to listen and try to do what we say. You'll soon see why.
They danced and they twirled. So now this is your cue to go dancing. And you can dance around the church.
You dance and twirl. Then
dance and twirl. They danced and they twirled with such beauty and grace. A vision of loveliness filled the place. They held hands and circles around to the right. It was a beautiful heavenly sight. Then after a while they all let go. And everyone stood up on their tippy toes. They lifted their hands and raised them up high. Then all looked up to the evening sky. The angels were beautifully blissful to hear, but gradually, one at a time, disappeared, each of them doing their own little dance with a touch of flair and elegance. One at a time, they all left the scene, leaving an air of peace where they had been. Stop, stop, angels, stop.
Now all of you angels just tiptoe away, then go to the stable and that's where you'll stay.
Come and sit.
Now shepherds, you get ready. We're back to your part. So now listen carefully. We're going to start.
You've got to sit at the front of this earth next to Mary and the baby. Yeah? What did you just say?
We're going to start.
Okay, it's my turn then. Sorry. The shepherds were calmer now, no longer frightened, just really excited and feeling enlightened. Then one of them turned to the others and spoke.
"Can this be for real? It's not just a joke. Were they really angels? Did they really say that God's son is in Bethlehem, laid in some hay?"
After recovering from such a shock, the shepherds decided to leave their flock and travel to where the angel had said the Son of God would be laid in his bed. So off they all went with a baby lamb as a gift for the Saviour, the Son of Man.
So off you go, shepherds, set off on your way to go back to the place where the baby lay. Can one of you pick up the lamb as you walk? Your journey is quite long. In the meantime, we'll talk.
Now, I'm sure as they travelled on their way, the shepherds would find lots of things to say.
"I wonder why God sent an angel to us. You'd think his own son would deserve more fuss.
We're not really special. Why tell us the news? There are more greater people that he could choose. I bought him a lamb. Is that good enough?
What else could you give him? You don't have much stuff.
How do we know where to find the babe?
What shall we do to find out where he's laid? All we can do is the best that we're able. We'll just ask around for a babe in a stable.
We'll need some more people in Bethlehem. The action will be over here again. So, Bethlehem's residents, now we need you. The shepherds have some inquiring to do. They ask each of you if you can assist. but wait for your prompt. You'll need to resist. So over to Bethlehem, please go and wait. And while you're listening, we'll narrate.
So, yeah. Matt and Roger.
Well done, Nina.
Oh. Oh, yes, that is belong to somebody. Who's lost their piece of paper? Right. The shepherds eventually reached Bethlehem, where all of their doubts crept in again. They wondered where they would discover the babe, so they asked around for where he was laid. And one of them, asking a stranger, said,
"That's a strange place for a baby to be." Sorry.
Hang on a minute. Ruth,
hold on. I've got to ask you a question first. Have you seen a babe
She's got
in a manger bed? Then Helen says,
"The stranger replied, and scratching his head, this is what the stranger said.
That's a strange place for a baby to be. Sorry, can't help you. Don't ask me."
They walked round town and they knocked on a door, and the shepherd repeated what he'd said before. So asking the stranger, the shepherd said,
"Have you seen a babe in a manger bed?"
The shepherd replied, and scratching his head, this is what the stranger said.
"A babe in a manger? How very obscure. I've not heard of one around here, I'm sure."
"Thanks," said the shepherds, then set off again and carried on looking around Bethlehem. They met someone else and still wanted to know where they could find the baby, and so, asking this person, the shepherds said,
"Have you seen a babe in a manger bed?"
The stranger replied and, pointing ahead, said,
"Yes, over there."
So soon with directions, the shepherds were able to visit Christ Jesus asleep in the stable. They knocked on the door and then opened it wide, and they saw baby Jesus asleep inside. They knelt at his feet, and then one of them said, "Do you guys want to come and kneel next to
Jesus? Is this the babe in the manger bed? We've come here to worship him, Jesus our King, Saviour and ruler of everything. We've brought him a lamb. That's all that we own. Remember us, Jesus, when you're on your throne."
Now back to the Bible and in Matthew's book. Bear with me a moment while I take a look.
Meanwhile, we need kings to act this part now.
Do you want to find your eyes on the floor? Do you want to sit on a chair?
So just listen carefully, then you will know how. Archie, just pick up your presents and bring them with you. And while you're walking, we'll say what to do. Start off by looking and pointing up high whenever we mention the star in the sky.
A little while later, a really bright star led wise men to follow it, travelling far. They'd read in the scriptures that Jesus would come and knew that this beautiful star was the one, the star that would take them to find the Messiah. So as they were walking, they called to inquire at King Herod's palace. They stopped and they said, "Now, seems to be somebody missing from this chair. Do we have a King Herod anywhere? Or a happy volunteer? We need someone to come and sit in the chair. Thank you so much." Well done. Thank you.
Subjects.
Yeah. I'll say my last line again, shall I? So as they were walking, they called to inquire at King Herod's palace. They stopped and they said,
Do we need the kings down here?
Yeah, kings, you need to be up the front on your journey to Bethlehem to see King Herod. Sorry.
That's all right.
Something missing. It's the kings. You've come to see King Herod, okay? So just stay down there on the carpet. That's fine.
"Your Majesty, look at the star overhead. It's leading us on to a child who has come to be the Messiah of everyone. Where will we find him? Have you any news? We'd all like to worship this King of the Jews."
Now Herod was jealous when he heard that news, but didn't express his intention to use all that he'd learned to kill the poor child. Oh no, he was cunning. He simply smiled. He said,
Do you want to read this?
Yeah. When you find him, please hurry back here to show me the way to the one we revere. I want to worship him just as you say.
So they all shook hands and then went on their way. Can you shake hands? Or pretend to shake hands and then head off? Yep. Good, 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 good. So they all shook hands, then they went on their way. Now Matthew goes on to say, things turned out fine. God gave them a dream which warned them in time that Herod had lied, so they never returned and left King Herod to learn that he'd been spurned. So back to the kings who had learned in their dream that horrible Herod was not what he seemed. So shaking their heads, they didn't look back, but looked at the star to get them on track. It led them to Bethlehem, where Matthew says, it's in chapter 2. Now this part will amaze. The star stopped right over the place. It's in verse 9, where mother and child both were at the time. They went in the house.
Not a stable, are you sure?
I'm reading it here. It does seem obscure.
Well, if you don't mind, can we stick with tradition and still use the stable we have in position?
So you thought that you knew what came next, but we'll stick to that version so no one's perplexed. But meanwhile, just pick up your Bible at home and read for yourself what it says on your own.
So kings, will you walk and go over to them just outside the stable in Bethlehem? Again, listen carefully and do as we say, just act out the words in the form of a play. And Mary, there's something we'll need you to do, so you'll have to listen and act it out too.
So finally, up in the starlit sky, the star from the east came to rest way up high. Just here. That's all right, you're all right, you're fine then. Oh, yay. Lovely star. Leading the wise men to where Jesus lay, the place where he slept in a manger of hay. They knocked on the door, then Mary arose to open it up for them, I suppose.
Mary, open the door. Who's going to come and open the door?
She pointed to Jesus. They all went to see. They each took their turn to get down on one knee. So kings, you need to come and bow before or kneel down before. The three of them knelt at the manger bed, presenting their gifts as they bowed and said... Right, I might need the microphone. Hang on a minute. Who's number one?
I bring you frankincense. I bring you myrrh.
I bring you gold.
All together.
We worship you, sir.
Fantastic. So that's how the story of Christmas began, when God came to earth as the saviour of man. And we celebrate Christmas and all do our part, but does it affect how we feel in our heart? Do we acknowledge what God did for us, or do we get lost in the Christmas buzz?
You see, what we're saying, the point that we're making, is Christmas is all about giving, not taking.
We all get nice gifts and enjoy meeting friends, but sometimes, in truth, is that where Christmas ends? For God sent his son for a far better reason than simply to have a great time at the season. Let's go back to the Bible, John 3, verse 16, and think about what Christmas really does mean. I'll open my Bible and read it from here. You'll find that his purpose is perfectly clear. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God sent his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Brilliant. Guys, do you want to come and arrange yourself? Some of you might need to stand round the back now so we can see you all. Well done. Do you want to come and stand here?
Well done. Do you want to go around the back?
And we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, see him lying on a bed of straw.
Glory is his. should give this lot a very big round of applause.
And I want to have a special shout out too to the early bird dads, who I thought was fantastic. So well played, you guys. Listen, you'll come and sit down on the carpet because I'm going to need a little bit of help from some of you in a minute. Now, I want to ask a question to you all. Is who is looking forward to receiving some presents this Christmas? Just a few of you? Only a few of you? Can I tell you a little secret? Is make the most of all the presents you get when you're a child. Because when you get as old as me, you don't get very many presents. And I've even bought my main present myself this year. But I wanted to show you just something that I hope I will get this year. One of my favourite presents. In fact, would someone come and have a look in my stocking? Come on, and you come up too, because there's two of them, and see what's inside my stocking. This really is my stocking. What have we got? We've got a Terry's chocolate, this should be a slide, a Terry's chocolate orange, my favourite. Just in case anyone else wants me to get me another present. And it's not just my favourite, because actually I like eating Terry's chocolate orange. I think Terry's chocolate orange can tell us the Christmas story. Can you open it up? Can you both open up? And so we're going to think about how we can learn and tell the Christmas story with a Terry's chocolate orange. Now, first of all, let's have a look at the chocolate orange. What does it remind you of? Have a look at that. Anything it might remind you of? An orange. It might remind you of an orange. What else might it remind you of? Yeah.
A Kristingle.
A Kristingle. You know, I think it does remind us of a Kristingle. And this is a plug that next Sunday at 4 o'clock at All Saints, we're going to have our Kristingle service. All do come along and join us. It's a really special service. But what else does it remind you of?
Yeah. The
song.
The
song. The sun. The sun. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, it does. Well, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. A couple of things. Firstly, it reminds me. I look at it and I think that looks a bit like a jewel.
Oh, yeah, true.
And, you know, if you watched King Charles's coronation this year, he was given this thing called an orb, wasn't he, which looks a bit like that, which is really precious, something that you give a king. And so I think it really looks like a jewel, and it reminds us that actually Jesus came to be a king. And not just that, but actually because it's round, I think it reminds me of the world. And it reminds me that Jesus came not just as any old king. He came as a very special king, someone who's going to be king of the whole world. But the question is, why did he come? Now, what I want to say to you is next is, what do you need to do in order to eat a chocolate orange next? You need to open it, but actually to do it properly, we need to break it open, don't we? So can you two just drop it? You don't need to smash it. Just drop it on the hard concrete here to open it up inside. Go on, drop it. Great. Now let's see. Oh, I think you've done a good job with that. Because if we open it up now, instead of all being stuck together, what we see is actually, we see the Terry's chocolate orange is all broken, isn't it? Can you see that? It's all the bits are broken out. And you know, this reminds me that actually Jesus came because the world was broken. He came because the world wasn't as God had created it to be. And actually, if we look at the world today, actually it breaks our hearts to see the world, to see the poor people in the Middle East where there's fighting and half those people in Gaza who are starving today. People who are fighting in the Ukraine. People in our own communities who haven't got food, who are lonely, where the relationships are broken. And it's not just out there, it's in our hearts too, it's in our families as well, is it isn't as the world is meant to be. And when God looked at the world, he says, my world is broken. And not just that, but the relationship that he wanted with God, between us and God, that was broken too. We weren't friends with God because we hadn't done what God wanted, and we'd done what the Bible calls sin, and we'd gone our own way. So our relationship with God was broken and the world was broken. And that's why God sent Jesus. God came as a man in the form of Jesus to take the broken world and to fix it and to put it right again. But do you know how Jesus did that? See, that's part of the amazing story as well, is that actually Jesus didn't come and be a king like King Herod was or like a normal king. The way that Jesus came to fix the broken world was actually to become broken himself. And he became broken, what we remember at Easter, when Jesus died on the cross. And there the Bible tells us he took all the brokenness, all the sadness, all the evil, all the mistakes we make, all of the brokenness of the world he took on him. So that all the brokenness would be in him, so that actually by his death on the cross, he might fix the world and one day put it right. And not just that, but Jesus showed us how to live, so that we could live differently. And you know, Jesus healed some people, didn't he? That was him showing what it means to heal a broken world. He showed us how to love each other, how to care each other. He said, this is how you live, to heal a broken world. And he promised that one day everything would be put right. One day everything would be fixed again. And it would be amazing. And that's the reason why Jesus came, to come and fix a broken world. And you know, the question is with a chocolate orange is, how are we going to eat it? You see, I've got a choice now, haven't I? I've got a choice that I could sit down and I could eat it myself. And I could have another bit. And I could keep eating it in front of you. Until you got really, really cross with me. Or what I could do. It's nice. Is actually, the thing about chocolate orange is it's meant for sharing, isn't it? Yeah. That's why it breaks into all these different pieces. And you know, the shepherds, that first, those first visitors. I'll just take a pause and finish my mouthful. Those shepherds, who were those first visitors to Jesus, those ordinary people, those nobodies, they came to visit Jesus. And actually what the angels told them was to go and find baby Jesus. And the Bible then says actually they left rejoicing, wanting to share the good news. Because the angels had told them that a savior, someone who could mend the brokenness, had been born. And so they didn't just leave and go back to their fields. They went around and they said, there's good news. And they shared the good news around. Do you want to open that one too? Okay. And they didn't just share it with the children. You know, they shared it with the old people. And the mums. And the dads. And you can pass that around too. Because actually the news of Christmas is news for everybody. That Jesus came, God in human form came to fix this broken world, to show us how to live, to show us that God loves us. And our response, I hope, is to say, we're going to go and tell other people the amazing news. So I want to encourage you all, and I'm not, don't get commission on this. I want to encourage you all to go and buy a Terry's chocolate orange this Christmas. And in your families, in your homes, go and tell that story again with the chocolate orange this Christmas. and just see if you can remember all the important things about Christmas with our Terry's chocolate orange. And if you haven't got one a bit, I'm sorry. The good news of Jesus is there is enough for everybody, even though there's not enough Terry's chocolate orange to meet everybody's needs today. Shall we pray? Just one more piece. Who are you going to give your last bit of Terry's chocolate orange to? Barry, you give it to who you think. I don't know who it's supposed to go to. I'll delegate that responsibility. Let us pray. Can we all pray? Shall we put our hands together? Thank you, Jesus, that the news of Christmas is good news. Thank you that you so love us and love your world that you don't just leave it broken, but that you came to fix that brokenness, to give us life, to show us how to live differently. And thank you that even though the world still seems so broken in many ways, there is that hope that one day when you come again, everything will be put right for all of eternity. And the world and the new heaven and new earth will be finally as you've always meant it to be. And may we, like the shepherds, go from here wanting to share this amazing news with others and to rejoice and be grateful this Christmas. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well done, children. I think if you can go back to your families, apart from the four that are helping with prayers.
Okay, so we're just going to join in some just quite reflective sort of prayers. So just give you a chance to think about what you've heard, and the children are going to read them nice and slowly. And yeah. So let us pray.
Lord, help us be like Mary, who answered when you asked. Help us to learn to give and serve, no matter what the task. Amen.
Amen. Get to Isla's next.
Lord, help us be like Joseph, a man both kind and just. Help us listen when you speak. Teach us how to trust. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the angel songs that shout aloud the Saviour's birth. Show us how to live in ways that sing of peace on earth. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us be like the wise men, following your lead, looking for your guidance in every word and deed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let us say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Let's say all together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's take the paper. Brilliant, you can go back. Thank you very much for your help. That's brilliant. We're going to, we're drawing towards the end of our service, and we're going to sing that lovely triumphant hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So, if you'd like to stand to sing that, and then I'm going to hand over to...
can I just say a big thank you again to Helen and to Ruth for not just putting on this morning, but actually all that they do to serve our children and families, particularly throughout the year. You guys are such a gift and a blessing to us, and thank you for that. And if you're not sure, go and find one of the early birds families here today and ask them what they think. Do just sit down for a moment. A few notices of just things that are coming up in the next few weeks, if we can have the next slide up. Just the different services. All our services are on the Christmas leaflet. If you haven't got a Christmas leaflet, please pick one up from the table on the way out. But if we go back to the last one, next Sunday at 4 o'clock up at All Saints, our other church, we have our amazing Christingle service, which is a really, really special service. It's a service not just for All Saints, but for us and for the community as well. Do come along to that. And then a few other services there. It's moving on quickly. Christmas at St Andrews, we have got midweek carol service this week. We have got reflective Christmas service for those people who find Christmas difficult, and particularly for those who have been recently bereaved, on the Thursday the 21st at 11. And we've got our main carol services here on Christmas Eve at 5 and 7, and particularly for younger children up at All Saints on Christmas Eve is going to be our Messy Christmas at 3 o'clock, which is always great fun. And whiz it on. And just to say too, Christmas Eve, there's no morning service here. We're going to have a joint service up at All Saints. And then on New Year's Eve, we're going to have a joint service here and no morning service up at All Saints. So watch out for that. Don't come here on Christmas Eve morning. So, the one other thing is if this Christmas story is still fairly new to you and you're still trying to work out what this is all about, then we've got a whole load of literature on the table as we go out, particularly this little book I love, which is about making the Christmas connection, which talks about how God, Jesus, came to mend our brokenness with God. Please do take any of those if you're interested. And then soon after Christmas, we're going to be running something called Alpha Light. These are sort of leaflets for that, but they point you to the website where there's more details. Alpha is a little course, which many people have done here, which explores a little bit about Christianity. If you want to talk more about that, Colin, wave your hands. Colin is Mr. Alpha. Talk to Colin. But if you're interested in that and finding out more, then have a look at that. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with Colin and look at the details. And that is starting soon after Christmas. We'd love you to come to that. And there's coffee in the church hall, down the corridor, straight after this service. Please do come down for coffee once you have taken off your costumes and put them neatly and neatly in the costumes room. Let's say a final blessing. We can have that. So may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas and always. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. And if I don't see you before, have a really happy Christmas.